The Virtue of Justice. It used to be the case many years ago that some of the favourite topics that preachers used for their sermons were the four last things: death, judgment, heaven and hell. The emphasis was usually on instilling fear into the congregation, anxiety about God's judgment of them, and terror at the prospect of burning in hell. Often there were dramatic and graphic descriptions of the Day of Judgment, which in Latin is called Dies Irae, the Day of Anger, and people used to slink away from Mass with a heavy but nebulous feeling of guilt for something they couldn't quite put their finger on. It's true that we will have to account for our sins, and if we die in mortal sin, our destination will ultimately be hell. However, for those of us who die and are still friends of God, the prospects are not quite as dire and certainly not as horrible. One of the things that often escapes our consideration is that the Day of Judgment will mean justice for those who were oppressed in this life. Those who were bullied, abused, tortured, discarded by humanity, or murdered will receive justice. And unless they repent, the wicked who perpetrated those crimes and sins will, at the end, get their just deserts. Therefore, Judgment Day is also Mercy Day. God's justice also demands that those who have remained faithful will be rewarded on the Day of Judgment. Jesus tells us this in the parable of the talents. Those who have made the most of what they have been given and have served God well will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." St. Catherine of Siena received this word from God the Father in prayer about those who die in a state of grace. "These souls wait for divine judgment with gladness, not fear. And the face of my Son will appear to them neither terrifying nor hateful, because they have finished their lives in charity, delighting in me and filled with goodwill towards their neighbour." There is a kind of justice that we ourselves can exercise. It's connected to the emotion of anger. When we see injustice, it's supposed to arouse a level of anger in us. The emotion of anger is meant to provide the power to right the wrongs that we see happening to others. Nevertheless, often we feel angry if we ourselves are not treated well, if we are slighted or overlooked or bullied or attacked either physically or psychologically. In that case, the most appropriate response should be meekness, not anger. When we overreact with anger to some injustice towards ourselves or even towards somebody else, then that can lead us into sin. Anger is sometimes described as an idolatry of power, control, or justice, which can lead us into bitterness, retaliation, and making judgments of other people. And that's when it becomes sin. A correct exercise of justice should lead us to address unjust situations. For example, when we hear about people who are dying of hunger, it should motivate us to reach out and to help them in some way, even going so far as to visit them and provide material help. When we hear of people suffering through war or oppressive regimes, it should encourage us to do what we can to alleviate their suffering. Almsgiving is an act of justice. Why? Because our possessions don't really belong to us. We are merely stewards of the things that God has provided for us. We might argue that we have worked long and hard to accumulate the wealth that we have, but none of that would be possible without the Lord allowing us to accrue material possessions. Almsgiving is a way in which we can expiate our own sinful ways. So that's a further way in which almsgiving is a demonstration of justice, in that we compensate for any evil we have brought into the world through our sin. Helping other people by serving them is an act of justice. We are obliged to love even our enemies, because God loved us when we were still sinners, enemies of God, and we need to emulate him. In Leviticus 20, we read, "Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy." When we consider all that God has given us, the relationships he has put into our lives, employment, good health, money, a roof over our heads and food on the table, out of gratitude to the Lord, we should be motivated to serve others, especially those who are not quite as fortunate as we are. To the same extent, rendering God praise and thanks for his kindness to us is an act of justice on our part. Giving God the praise he is due, as it says in 1 Chronicles 16, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendour of his holiness." In Scripture, the word justice is a technical term meaning righteousness or holiness. It has connotations of being right with God, pursuing holiness. And holiness is often depicted not so much as being personally righteous, but rather being set apart for God or consecrated to God. When someone is justified, it means they are set apart or dedicated to God. And so we can speak of baptism as justification, that is, transformation from being a sinner to being consecrated to God and holy, a son or daughter of God. In the Bible, the just man is the righteous man who is at peace with God and knows he is loved. Therefore, he acts in a righteous way by loving others. As St. John the Evangelist reminds us in his first letter, we love because he loved us first. God is just, but also merciful. Just because we deserve death for our rebellion in the Garden of Eden. Merciful because he died in our place in an astonishing act of mercy. In this way, God's justice sets up a new dynamic that also incorporates mercy. So when God tells us to be holy as he is holy, he's also asking us to temper our judgment of other people with mercy, to give other people a second chance. When Jesus tells us to forgive our brother 70 times 7, he is asking us always to forgive those who have hurt us, attacked us, or abused us, even if they have not asked for forgiveness. This forgiveness is so important to God that our salvation depends on it. We literally can't get into heaven if we hold judgments of other people and refuse to forgive them. It's so important that at the end of his life, while he was in the throes of agony on the cross, Jesus chose to forgive those who were killing him. These words from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, describe this paradoxical love of God. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. In other words, when we sin and are faithless, he will always take us back if we repent. The only time that God will ever reject us is if we die in a state of having rejected God. Let's pray and ask God to give us his perspective of justice. Heavenly Father, open my mind and my heart to understand and put into practice your justice and your mercy. Give me the grace to combat injustice, but in mercy to forgive those who have hurt me. I praise you for your wisdom, your mercy, and your love. Amen.